Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Delta Talks, a TMT podcast by Delta Partners. I'm Samrita, and I lead the PR function here. If you're new to our channel, welcome. We're pleased to have you. If you've heard us before, welcome back. In today's episode, we discuss diversity, inclusion, and belonging with Stephanie Portier, a team leader at Delta Partners based in the Dubai office, along with Louisa Gregory, VP Culture, Change, and Diversity at Colt Technology Services. Stephanie is incredibly passionate about inclusivity and holistic employment, where she believes everything and everyone is interrelated. Louisa leads change and implements equality on a daily basis at Colt, based in London. Colt is a member of the GLF. GLF is the Global Leaders Forum, which is the body of leading international telecoms carriers. Delta Partners has worked with Colt through their role in the GLF over the years. Under the leadership of Carrie Gilder, Colt has taken a leading role in the diversity, inclusion, and belonging movement. We're really looking forward to having this conversation today. Over to you, Steph.
All right. Thank you so much, Samrita. So thanks a lot for joining us, Louisa. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Stephanie. I'm really pleased to be here.
And we're really pleased to have you around. Thanks for coming back to discuss with us about diversity, inclusion, and belonging. So, Louisa, you are the VP of Culture, Change, and Diversity at Colt Technology Services, a telecommunication company that is headquartered in the UK. And you have been like an amazing support for us and interviewee for the GLF reports that we published like both last year and this year. So thanks a lot for your support. So today we are here to discuss about the new publication of the GLF for 2021 on diversity, inclusion, and belonging that was just published by the GLF. And we will go through a series of questions, just 5 questions that are some of the main points that were raised with this report. So if that's fine for you, I will actually move to the first point, which is about diversity and inclusion. When we conducted these interviews for the report of the GLF, we were basically seeing that diversity means something that is slightly different, different across the different telecommunication and carriers. And also that it's quite important for organization in general. So for instance, like 87% of the carriers that we interviewed highlighted that diversity, inclusion, and belonging have been very strategic in the past year for them. So what does that mean for you, diversity first? And why is it important for Colt?
Mm-hmm. So I guess the first thing that we would say at Colt is that we don't just focus just on diversity, because it sometimes can mean different things to different people, exactly as you said, Stephanie. And the other thing that we're trying to avoid is having diversity for diversity's sake. So for us, it is a very clear strategic ambition that we hold, which is about not just bringing diversity of people, but it's about bringing diversity of backgrounds, it's diversity of thought, it's diversity of experience, because what we know then is that our ability to innovate, our ability to solve problems gets faster, our ability to think differently increases. So what we've seen by bringing more diverse teams in, that's not just the more traditional ways of thinking around diversity, which is having different genders, having different racial diversity, but it is thinking more holistically about diverse thinking, diverse experience, diverse skill sets that just bring a different focus to the organization. But in order to achieve... I was just going to say, but in order for those diverse groups to thrive, you really have to create an inclusive culture. So that's why we say very, very clearly that you can't have diversity without inclusion or belonging. And you need to be focusing equally on all of those. Otherwise, you will just end up losing your diverse talent.
I see. One question that I would have for you is, so you have this very holistic view of what diversity means across like backgrounds, experiences. Is it something that appeared in your organization from the start, or is it something that you built with an increased maturity in your understanding of diversity?
It was definitely a journey that we've been on. So when I joined CULT 5 years ago, I was very lucky that when I joined, CULT was turning 25. And one of the things that we looked at was historically, you know, what's been CULT's history? And one of the data points that came to light at that point was that CULT only had 25% of its total workforce represented by women. And if we went higher up in the organisation at the most senior levels, there was one, in some instances, in some set of our functional senior leadership teams, there were no women. So that's kind of where it started for CULT is, you know, that this is not good enough. You know, 25% representation by a group that makes up 50% of the general population isn't good enough, and we need to get more diverse. So that's where it started for us. And, you know, in the 5 years that we've been really starting that conversation, mm-hmm. we have expanded our thinking around diversity and what that means for us quite substantially. So, yes, it has definitely been a journey, and one that will continue to evolve as well.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot for that. So another question that I would have for you is, we asked the GLF members about which aspects of diversity they've been focusing on. The GLF report is a report that covers a lot of different geographies, and the way we put it for this interview is we talked about gender, race, age, disability, and LGBTQ+ inclusion, diversity. So this is how it was defined for the GLF report. And when we asked this to the interviewees, gender and race came as more prominent aspects of diversity. So in terms of focus, would you say that these are still two important topics for CULT?
So, all of those different groups that you mentioned, we do look at, but gender and race are definitely two of our prominent areas. Gender, I think, is obvious. As I said before, women make up roughly 50, possibly even slightly more, 51% of the general population. So if you exclude women too much from your workforce, from your talent pool, then you're just reducing the size of the talent that you can get access to. So it has been, and it continues to be, a focus for CULT to increase our gender balance across the whole organisation, in every location that CULT operates in. Racial diversity is another one that has had a strong prominence within CULT, within our thinking, and that is partly because CULT operates in 23 different countries across the globe. We are naturally culturally diverse anyway, because of that. And we already knew that there are different ways of thinking because of that, you know, the way in which our people think about different issues and different problems. It's that diverse thinking in Japan compared to in Germany, for example, can be quite different. So we've always been able to leverage some of that cultural diversity to our advantage. But obviously the murder of George Floyd in 2020 raised the prominence of this conversation beyond just cultural diversity, and really thinking about the inequities that exist due to racial inequity, to racial inequality. So the colour of one's skin that can play a part in how biased someone feels towards you, or the systemic discrimination that can happen as a result of the, you know, the background that you were raised as, whether you're black, brown, mixed race, etc. So we have increased our focus on that particular area beyond just thinking about cultures, because it is the right thing to do in order to remove some of that systemic discrimination and bias that can exist, and to really allow those people to thrive as well within our organisation. So, yes, they're definitely two areas of focus for CULT But we, as I said, we do also focus on those other ones, our LGBTQ plus colleagues, our different generations, as well as those who maybe have a disability as well. But those other threes can also be intersectional as well. So, you know, I could be I could be a Black woman with a disability. So, you know, we don't just all fit into one box. There's lots of intersectionality that occurs with diversity as well. But generally speaking, gender and race are two of the most prominent things, I think, for us as well.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for the example and also the fact that you're right, like there is a complexity and a different approach that is really linked to the location. I would actually like to bounce on this one question about gender and race to ask you something. What we've seen from the GLF report's answers to the interviews that we conducted was that for some companies, it's easier to actually tackle gender issues rather than tackling racial diversity. I wanted to ask you, do you know why? Would you have like some hypothesis about why some companies feel that it's just a bit harder to go through this? And maybe what you've done with Colt to overcome these difficulties?
I think gender is an easier topic to tackle for a couple of different reasons. One, you know, I go back to that same reason. Women make up 50%, generally speaking, of the general population. So it's a very big, I hesitate to call it a minority group because women are not a minority, but it's a very big group to ignore. So therefore, gender becomes a very easy place to start because as a so-called minority group, it's a very big group that can have a significant impact and open up your talent pool quite significantly as well. When it comes to conversations around race, you use the word complex, and I think it's a really great word to use to describe it because the reason that race is such an issue has historical significance or meaning that applies differently in different countries. The history of race in the UK is very different to the history of race in the US, and it's very different, if I use my example of growing up in Australia, the conversations around race and the history of how we got there is very, very different. So that's what makes it so complex. Go on.
Absolutely. Look, we are totally aligned on that. And I think that you're also bringing the idea that talking about racial diversity, therefore, it's a different story for every location. It's almost a different story, even on a per diversity, like on per each diversity of race, because the situation of Black Americans is not the same as the situation of Asian Americans, for example. The type of positions, jobs, the type of place where people live is very different. So if like even within one territory, the story is going to be extremely diverse, which does create the complexity.
Yes, the story is different and how people got there is different. The approach that we've taken at Colt, though, is to say that it's important locally that we understand how we got there, but it is more important that we have a common understanding of how we move forward. So, for example, earlier this year, we ran training for the top two levels within our organisation, CEO and CEO minus two down the organisation, around racial awareness training and thinking more holistically about the attitudes that we bring when it comes to thinking about people who are non-white, essentially. So then we all have a common understanding of the language. We all have a common way of thinking about different ways that we can approach that conversation with our teams, but also recognizing within ourselves where some of that bias may come from as well. So while understanding the past is really important, also understanding where we go to collectively as a group is also equally as important as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Thanks a lot for your view on gender and racial diversities. One thing that I would like to explore with you is an interesting finding from the report that is a different topic, that is about the role of the leadership actually in driving diversity and inclusion policies and impact within the organization. So basically, the GLF report has highlighted a very interesting phenomenon, which is that the CEO plays quite an important role in driving implementation of the diversity strategy and impact in companies. And your CEO herself has been very involved in diversity initiatives. I was wondering if you might tell us a little bit more about her role and how you think that she's been driving impact.
So you're right, Kerry Gilder, our CEO, is a very strong advocate in the need for a more diverse workforce, but one that is also inclusive and includes more people within it. And if I just take a step backwards, I think what the experience that we've had at Colt is, as I said, 5 years ago, we realised that this was a problem and we needed to do something about it, which predates Kerry's time with Colt. And we were making progress, we were making strides, we were doing things, but it was in a much more understated way. In the 18 months roughly since Kerry's been appointed to the CEO, that whole conversation has just accelerated significantly. So Kerry is the one that makes sure that this should be seen as important to everybody within the organisation. And what that means is that it makes, fortunately, my job so much easier because it's a conversation that people are just willing to have because they know it's high on the CEO's agenda and therefore it's something that they also need to care about because it forms part of our strategic intent and the way that we differentiate ourselves against our competitors. So, you know, while I would say that it's not impossible to achieve progress or change with a really strong inclusion and diversity strategy under a team, there is no doubt in my mind that you can achieve even more and at a faster pace when it's on the CEO and the executive leadership team's agenda as well.
Yes, absolutely. So when we were discussing this finding with the different members of the GLF, I think that some of the themes that came are just usually CEOs are very seasoned business people who tend to put KPIs in place, ask to hold people accountable for the results and basically to drive for the impact. And so it's been a very interesting finding to see that it seems that a bit more is achieved and quicker when the top head is actually involved in the agenda. And that was one of the great findings, I think, from the GLF report. One of the last questions that I have for you, and it's really because I think that when we discussed with you about where Colt is, given how mature the organization is, the fact that it's been on a journey for a long time that is structured, I would just like to kind of pick your brain and just ask you, if I was a company that is starting the journey, and I want to drive impact. I want to drive impact quickly. What would you basically do if you were such a company?
Well, I think as we've just talked about, if you can get your CEO or your executive or an executive sponsor on board, that would certainly be a fantastic place to start because you're then more likely to get budget allocated to this. Which again can make a difference. But the other things that I would say is really thinking about what's the ultimate strategic ambition that you want to gain from having a diversity and inclusion strategy. You know, what's the needle that you're wanting to move? Because without, you know, business strategy 101 is what is ultimately it is that you're wanting to achieve. And I don't think it's any different. You know, I've talked to people, I've interviewed people around this topic and, you know, said, you know, what was your strategic ambition? And they said, well, just to show that we care about this. And I just don't think that's enough to get business or business people to sit up and take notice. You really have to have something more behind that. The other thing that I would say, and the way in which we've approached this, we've split the work that we do into four different buckets, if you like. So the first is around looking at the foundations. What are the things that need to be in place to enable that culture where people can thrive? So we looked at all of our policies, for example. We adjusted our parental leave policy to give equal access to both men and women, so same-sex couples can get access to the same benefits as a more traditional family unit where a mother was giving birth, for example, might get. We implemented new policies, including a transitioning at work policy for those employees who might be considering or undergoing transgender reassignment. We looked at other policies around mental health, for example. So that was really our foundation piece in terms of making sure that all the right building blocks were in place. Then all of our other activities fall into one of three buckets. It's around how do we develop and retain the best diverse talent? How do we increase education and awareness for others, including those in the majority group, about what it's like to be part of a diverse group? And then the third area is how do we make sure that we reach out into the community and make an impact or partner with those groups where we can gain knowledge and best practice as well and bring that back into cult. So all of our strategy is built around sort of those things. Foundations first, developing and retaining the best diverse talent, raising education and awareness of what diversity and inclusion means, and then having looking at how we have a community impact as well.
That's fantastic. Thanks a lot for those building blocks. I think that the foundational layer is especially interesting. The executive support and sponsorship is definitely key. That's something that we've seen. All the companies that have been successful in the field have had very strong sponsorships that have been going at C-level, C-1, C-2. We've also seen, like, thanks to this sponsorship and this ownership of the top executives, usually much better funding of all the activities of all the groups. The employee groups were basically delivering, like, the impact themselves. So it's definitely been something key. What we've also seen, I think, from the GLF is the fact that a lot of things start a bit from the measurement, putting in place like the Northern Star of diversity for the company and understanding what is it that success means for us has been quite important, because I do see that there is a difference potentially in the companies, but also in the maturity levels of the different companies in terms of diversity. And while some say, look, I want to achieve like parity, it means if I'm successful, I should get a certain percentage of women, for example, in senior positions. Not every company has been there yet. So I think that establishing like a common understanding within the company of what success means and how we are getting there is like a very key step.
I agree. Yeah. 100% agree. It's setting that purpose and that vision.
Absolutely. It's part of your foundation and your strategy from the start, and the definition of this objective then is much easier to cascade, it's much easier to track, and it's much easier to see which program feeds into that or not, which is always a little bit complicated because there are so many initiatives, and at the end we have a finite budget and a finite number of people for implementing want to implement. So that's one of the learnings that we've had. Thanks to you. Thanks to everyone who contributed to the GLF report this year. So I think that on my side, I am done, Luisa. So thanks a lot for taking part in this interview. Thanks a lot again for helping us to shape the thinking of the Diversity, Inclusion and Belonging report. And that is it on my side.
No, thank you, Stephanie, for the opportunity to be part of it, including this podcast, but more broadly, the GLF. I think diversity is one of those things that we can only move and shape when the whole industry comes together to work on this as one. So I think that what the GLF is doing is really admirable to help us achieve that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. And hopefully we'll talk again for the 2022 edition of the GLF Diversity, Inclusion and Belonging Report. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thank you.